for like Writing the Wrong Way, where we talk about writing works, how writers work, and why the best writers risk being strange. And Christopher Nolan's all over the place these days. Even if you have not seen Oppenheimer, you're one of the 10 people who haven't seen it, you would all have known about Christopher Nolan. Christopher Nolan, in many ways, I might argue, is kind of the Hitchcock of our day. He's the guy who's really working firmly in genre films, genre storytelling, really tried and true genres in many respects, Hollywood cinematic genres like The Bank Heist, which I'm going to talk about in a minute here as I talk about Inception. At the same time, he's somebody who's taking, you know, a lot of art film approaches and taking a lot of creative risks in terms of his storytelling. You know, I'm not a Christopher Nolan fanboy like some people are, but I will, you know, grant Nolan his status. And I think that if you're a writer, you can learn a lot from Nolan, who is very interested in unconventional storytelling techniques. And you can learn a lot from the film Inception. Now, people are really split on the film Inception, whether they think it's great or not great. I have to admit, I kind of waffle a little bit myself between how I feel about Inception. There's things I like about it, things I don't like about it. But ultimately, I think it's a brilliantly structured story in many ways, although I would probably cut the first hour of it if it were up to me, as I will kind of discuss in a minute. So I know it's kind of maybe a paradox to say it's brilliantly structured, and also I would maybe lose an hour. But I think you can maybe see what I mean by the time I'm done talking about it here. So I'm going to talk about Inception. If you haven't seen Inception, I'm going to lay the plot out for you. I'm going to kind of ruin Inception for you if you ever intend to see it and you haven't already. You may want to watch it and come back to this. And while you're kind of taking that break, go to strangeinc.ca, sign up for my newsletter. You know, I run a company called Stranger Fiction. Strange Inc. is my newsletter. That's how I let people know what we're doing at Stranger Fiction, what kind of cool things I'm putting out, like this podcast, like, you know, books, poetry, whatever. I give sometimes a little insight into what I'm doing, some draft work, you know, show you before I show anyone else, you know, what I'm working on. But then also at the same time, I got writing tips. I've got, you know, just recommendations, you know, watching. I will recommend typically things that are a bit more obscure than Inception. Although I do, you know, recommend you check out Inception and then kind of come back, like I say, to this video and or this, you know, podcast, depending on which one you're watching and listening to, and see what there is to see about Inception that you may have missed a little bit when you were caught up in the story. Check out strangeinc.ca. Sign up to my newsletter. Keep in touch. That's my email. You know, you can come right, bounce, reply to it. It goes right back to me. Let me know what other things you would like me to analyze for you. But right now, without further ado, let's get into an analysis of the movie Inception. Inception is a film that does something incredibly well, which is taking an internal conflict and externalizing it in a symbolic representation that other characters can now interact with. So Mal, the film is set up in such a way that the internal conflict that is hampering this film's progress, the plot's progress, I should say, the way that Cobb has this inner conflict that is keeping him from reaching his goals. You know, he has this goal of Inception, pulling off this, you know, last big heist. By the way, as a sort of aside here, this film's genre is really fascinating. We have, on one hand, a science fiction film. On the other hand, we have a kind of a philosophically heavy art film, although it doesn't, you know, do too much with that. But it is a science fiction film on one hand. It is a bit of an art film on the other hand that has this sort of philosophical issue with dreams and reality and what, you know, is the difference? Is there a meaningful difference? And so on and so forth. It's a film that, thematically speaking, heavily gets into ontology, you know, the study of reality and what is real, what is the quality of reality, what can be said of reality that can't be said of other things, and so on and so forth. But I would say the overriding genre is a classic Hollywood genre, the heist film. But interestingly, it is a, and it has the tropes of a heist film where, you know, he's going to do one big job, one big last job, and then he's out forever, right? One big last job, but not so simple a job as it seems on the surface, you know, and it starts to go awry really fast. And the great ironic twist here is that he, instead of stealing something, is trying to put something in. So instead of extraction, he's trying to do inception. So sort of like breaking into a bank vault and putting something in the safe instead and getting away undetected. That's the sort of beauty of this film's structure in terms of its genre and how Nolan has really wound a couple of really interesting genres together in a fairly seamless manner. Just to coming back to Maul and the conflicts for a second, you know, he's got this overriding heist film conflict. He needs to, you know, do this, that, and the other thing in order to get to inception. And we get laid out in the earlier part of the film all the things he has to accomplish. He has to go down, you know, three levels, so on. So he has to, you know, do this in the first level, do that in the second level, do this in the third level, and that'll, you know, allow him to do inception. And then, you know, when he comes out, we'll see what happens then, right? There's a clear goal. There's a clear set of things he has to do to accomplish the goal that helps the film divide into sequences. But the film really cleanly divides with these, or into acts, I should say. The film really clearly divides in these multiple acts where you have, you know, the reality and the dream and then another dream and then another dream and so on. We have this great cold open in limbo. You know, we have all these great ways in which the film structurally divides itself, and we get signaled as an audience to how that division is going to work in the early part of the film. And that conflict, of course, the conflict that results, the reason why he can't, you know, very easily do these things. We have this, the difficulty of inception in the first place, right? What he's ultimately trying to accomplish is something that is, others think is impossible. Cobb knows it's possible for reasons we only find out later, you know, that he actually has done it before and it didn't have, but, you know, here's the internal conflict. He's done it before, but it didn't have the result that he thought. And now when we get right down to it, what's interesting, I think, about Cobb and about the film and how the film works with Cobb and works with his inner conflict is, here's a person who, if you just focus on what we see from the start to the end of the film, it opens with them showing us him failing. Now, that is to increase the stakes of the film, right? Because he's failed, now this other company is after him. Plus, in addition to that, he has to take the job from Sato. Plus, you know, it's a way to get into, increase the pressure on him to come home, and so on, and how he's further and further from that than he's ever been before. And yet, you know, here's, if he could just this one last job, right? He can short circuit and be out. But it does show us him failing, and it shows him failing because of Mal. And then it shows a little bit more fully to us as the film progresses, who Mal is and what she represents. And the genius of the film in many ways is that Cobb's, at his heart, has an inner conflict that is producing a situation. Well, his inner conflict is making it harder to accomplish his goal, which is what an inner conflict should do. You know, anytime you've got a story with a character has an inner conflict, typically they have an outer goal and their inner conflict is preventing them from reaching that goal. And unless they resolve their inner conflict, there's no way for them to reach that external goal that, you know, might seem otherwise disconnected from it. fundamentally, what we see here is that Cobb doesn't want to succeed. You know, Cobb is burdened with guilt, and Maul represents that guilt, but Maul also represents a sort of a death wish that Cobb has. You know, he's at this point where he has this guilt has been eating him up inside, and he really sort of, it has developed into a bit of a death wish. And fundamentally, what's getting in the way of them of the team succeeding is Cobb's secret subconscious desire to fail. That's a hard thing to show in a film, because by their natures, films do not show inner conflict well. Prose is best, you know, a novel is the best storytelling medium for inner conflict. The theater is less good at it, but can do it fairly well still. Because in the theater, you have this opportunity where the first non-realistic soliloquy that reveal the interior thoughts and feelings of the characters, almost, you know, in a narration-like way. Film is the worst medium for showing inner conflict, but Inception has found a workaround because of the nature of dreams and the way that projections work in the dreams. Any internal feeling, this is something established very early in the film, is that internal feelings are getting externalized in the environment and in other individuals around them. So built into Inception and explained to us, the audience, very early on, is this idea that any inner conflict is going to be externalized, given a visual representation in the environment or in another person. And here we have a premise that is just brilliantly engineered to be cinematic. So all the weaknesses of cinematic storytelling, short-circuited. Nolan has just found a great, brilliant approach to complicate and deepen an action genre that is notoriously shallow, to the point where, you know, one of the most famous examples of the heist film is the Ocean's 11, a film in which nothing goes wrong and there are no problems. That's the sort of, it's just simply a franchise that relies, at least in its first installment, and broadly speaking, you know, the Ocean's 11 films are the stories of people who are great, who do great things without any hassle or problems getting in their way, more or less. And it's just all about flash and sizzle and no steak, as they put it. Heist films have notoriously been that kind of a film in Hollywood. They've been very successful in Hollywood. Absolutely, almost completely absent from other mediums, like the novel, or even like drama or musicals and so on. Almost no other genre can even bother with the heist genre, for the simple reason that there's really nothing there. There's no real depth to most heist films. But yet here, Nolan does manage to come in, marry that genre to a couple other genres, to science fiction specifically. Science fiction, the genre of ideas and depth and complexity, philosophical weightiness, makes that fusion work, particularly because of this way that he's working inside of dreams. And then, you know, with the projections, the environmental design, and so on and so forth. So all the weaknesses of the cinematic medium get short-circuited. What remains in terms of weaknesses are the inherent weaknesses of the heist genre, for the most part. We spend this Inception, for all its strengths, I think, is a film that has one fundamental weakness, in its running time, it runs about 2.5 hours, which, you know, isn't too abnormal these days for a film, certainly a film with a lot of plot. But if you look closely, Inception isn't really a film with that much plot. Inception is a film with a lot of exposition, a lot of things that you need to know before we can start our plot. And if you look really closely at the running time of Inception, if you, you know, just press pause, like I did last time I watched this film, you know, press pause when they first go into Fisher's dream. So the story actually begins, right? This is a story of, you know, them going in and incepting an idea within Maurice Fisher, or rather Fisher's. Note that's an hour into the film. So they spend 1 hour of a 2.5 hour movie, almost 50%, you know, close to 50%, let's say 40% of the time, upfront time in this movie is just explaining to us what is going on and getting the team together. The bane of all heist movies, getting the team together. Even the Avengers, by the way, gets the team together. The Avengers sequels that where we've already seen the team 100 times, we're only watching this movie because we know who the team is. They still will get the team together for 40 minutes. So, you know, that's a weakness that this film has. It's a weakness that I don't know. There's many ways around that weakness. It's not that it's an inherent quality of the heist film that has to be dealt with. It could very quickly and simply be done. You could simply just have a team together. For example, he kind of half has a team together. He only needs to get a couple people, really. And yet, you know, look how long it takes him. Part of the reason for that is that as this is happening, the film is also trying to explain to us its rules. And it's fairly dynamic for all that. You know, I'll say that Nolan does a pretty good job of making it interesting in that first hour, that first, you know, 40% of the film. But still, you know, it's a real pacing problem, I would argue, in terms of just fundamentally how this story is put together. And consequently, the last kind of half of the film, I think, feels fairly rushed in places. Now, it is an action movie that's, you know, very hyperkinetic. So it being rushed isn't a massive flaw, because, you know, the rush kind of gives us that, a bit of that sense of them being rushed. But, you know, you could argue with the pacing in Inception quite clearly. The other sort of thing that I think is really well done in Inception is how he is able to keep the plot clear. This is a film that is just complicated plot wise. If you actually really think about it, you know, we have Cobb, for example, just to pick one person, you know, Cobb at these different levels of reality at different times. So bear in mind that, like, as Cobb is, you know, doing something on one level of reality, like, what, as Cobb is in a dream, he's also in the reality above, you know, asleep in a moving van or what have you. And then he's also in a reality above, you know, doing something else, you know, sleeping on the private plane, and so on and so forth. Like, it has these sort of levels where Cobb is doing this, that, and the other thing, and the audience has to track all those levels. And the filmmakers have to remind you of what's happening on all those levels. And effectively what you're doing is you're showing, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio at like five different places at once. And to not make that incredibly confusing is a real feat, because it's not just one character, right? All these characters in this core group are sort of in that situation. The film does a very good job of taking a very complicated plot and a very complicated set of ideas and breaking them down into simple visual ideas. The idea of a kick that, you know, is going to throw you up from one level to the other. The idea of you know, the music or other element, you know, the water, other things in the environment of the dream that are representative of something on the level higher of the up in the dream, or in another dream or in reality. The idea of the tokens, those iconic objects that are going to show you whether you're in a dream or reality. You get the question of whether that even makes sense, that a token could do that, by the way, which, I mean, arguably, yes, because of the way that dreams are constructed. But at the same time, by the end of the film, we get this suggestion that it's possible Cobb has been in a dream all along. In fact, you know, Inception itself is very much the kind of idea that might come about in a dream. This whole idea that we could go deeper into dreams and so on is one that we're asked to accept initially as the sci-fi state of the world. But there's not necessarily a good plot reason that we need to accept that. We could, of course, see that as just a dream device. We have a film with a very ambiguous ending here, which is not common in the action genre. It's certainly not common in heist. It's very common in science fiction. You know, Blade Runner has a number of sort of classic examples of like the reality status of what's going on. Total Recall is another film that has, you know, certain things in it. We're maybe being asked to determine for ourselves the nature of that reality. But Inception is a bit more fully indebted to that idea that, you know, there's ambiguity here and there's some possibility that what we're being told is real is maybe not real. And the characters get into that idea to a certain degree. I don't know, honestly, if that's a super interesting question. Does it matter that much whether or not Cobb is in another dream at the end or has escaped into a final reality? I'm not sure that it does matter, because as the film itself points out, there isn't a really fundamental difference between dreams and reality in many meaningful ways. But regardless of how you want to look at that ending and how you want to look at certain things in the film, what is clear is that Nolan has really found a great structure inside of which he can do a lot of things. He can externalize a lot of internal ideas. You know, he can work with symbols that get at sort of this deeper notion in a very complicated but easy to understand way. And it's a film that I think is doing a lot of really clever and interesting tricks in terms of showing you how you can take a complicated idea and a complicated notion and really break it down to a simple symbol and some simple things that the audience can connect with and that the audience can understand.